RTI,
involves helping them to implement key planks of their election manifesto, providing the country with economic as well as political stability, and finding further ways in which Liberal Democrats can be involved in making this happen.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad, ladies and gentlemen. You just heard David Cameron, as he was, shall we say, well, I was going to say sucking up, but others would say starting negotiations, I guess, would they not, Lee?
I would say dancing on a dead man's coffin.
I'll tell you what, boys and girls, this reminds me of working in a London radio station where we had television monitors on everything. We had audio feeds coming in from everywhere. And as I'm talking to you, we have got stuff going on everywhere. And it's amazing to be part of this. In fact, I'm all hot and sweaty, Lee.
And I'm a whole hot and sweaty too. Yes.
I think we can safely say that the next minority part government come coalition, and it's going to be an interesting word for the UK to use, coalition, will be the Conservative Party and the Lib Dems, which looks to me as if they've on the road to making things work together.
Well, the thing is, you have to remember, though, that if Gordon Brown decides he can soldier on as a minority administration, then any pact with another party, it's just nothing, is it? You know, he can actually carry on now if he wants to.
Well, he could, but the scenario is that, and I haven't got the figures perfectly in front of me right now, but if you take the, and this is the crazy thing about the voting system in the UK, which is most bizarre. Mm. The fact is that if he carried on, you would have a situation where the Conservatives and the Liberals together would have cast well over 50% of the votes in the UK, and yet they wouldn't have a voice of power in government.
That's right.
Whereas the minority, which they certainly would be as on their own, is the Labour Party with a smaller number of votes than anyone else. And this is all to do with this first-past-the-post thing, which doesn't happen in other areas of Europe. And I'm being serious in this bit of the programme for a bit. It just doesn't make sense. You can vote. I mean, the good thing's always been you normally have a winner until you get to a change of politics, which I have to say is probably the majority of people who listen to this programme, which is young people. They're making the difference.
Well, I think, young people are more likely to vote now than, say, they would have done in 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference. But it's something, everybody's skirting around here at the moment, and it's just a very simple situation. We go on about democracy here, and what we're supposed to be watching is democracy at work. Basically, what happens is that we have a democratic dictatorship, which we're allowed to make comment on by little bits of paper and putting crosses every 5 years. We live in a dictatorship. That's the way it is. Even down to the fact that people, although they are threatened for not putting their names on the electoral register with a substantial fine, I think it's £2,000 if you're not registered on the electoral register, right? We are under threat of being fined for not acting in a democratic way.
Mm-hmm.
And that democratic way is freedom. Well, you're not free not to vote. But so you turn up and try and vote, and they won't let you in to vote. Now, that is a bizarre. That is some sort of crackpot Central Eastern European country gone insane. That country would be lampooned for acting in the way it's acting. Well, but the sad thing is, it's us!
Hang on. Right, what time did they start? In the UK election, people started voting at what time in the morning? 7.
10:00.
Yeah? 7. Yeah. Right.
Was it 7? I thought it was 10.
No, 7.
That's because I don't get up till 11.
That's right. So they've got from 7 in the morning through till 10 at night.
Yeah.
Right?
How many hours is that? 13 hours.
Right. They were complaining that they didn't have enough time to go and vote.
Yeah.
Now,
that's why they stayed in and watched Coronation Street.
Which says a lot, really, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't go to a supermarket to do a week's shopping at 5 minutes to before 10 o'clock in the evening if the shop's shutting at 10 o'clock, do you?
Well, you do, really, because it gives you a sense of power because they have to stay open. But that's the thing that didn't happen with the polling booths. Why should it be illegal to stay open after 10 o'clock if people are still there wanting to vote? Why should that be the law of the land?
Well, then, because you'd have to extend it to the next day and the next day and the next day. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going on holiday. I need to vote on Saturday. You'll have to stay open for me. I'll get a life.
Democratic, isn't it? That sounds very democratic to me.
It sounds like complete farce to me.
Well, I think everything that's happened is complete farce over this. And, you know, the fact that we're actually going to end up probably with David Cameron as the new Prime Minister, you know, it could be... You see, the problem is, Eric, nobody's really voted... Nobody voted Gordon Brown in.
No.
Nobody's really voted Cameron in.
Okay, so if you join, if all right, so I take your point.
Where's the democracy?
If the votes of the Liberal Democrats, and the Conservatives are joined together, and they compromise on what they think the country should do, so they are agreeing, the votes that you made for the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives are amassed as one. That's over 50% of the populace, whichever way you want to add it up.
I agree with you more, but I have a perfect argument to present to you.
Go on, then, I knew you would.
Well, very simply, I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is if you take Nick Clegg's vote and Mrs Cameron's votes together, put them together, then you have a majority.
Yes.
Guess what, though? If you had Corporal Clegg's vote, Mrs Cameron's votes, and Gordon Brown's votes, you would be representing the whole of the voting population in Britain. Now, what's wrong with that? Where's the democracy in saying, right, 30% of you voted for Gordon Brown. You could get lost. We're not considering your views at all. What we'll do, we'll take the views of the two smaller sections, parties that you voted for, and we'll put them in power. This is not democracy. This is insanity.
Isn't that the way politics is going, where there's not enough of the old system of people going, I vote this way, I vote this way, I vote this way? And
yeah, I agree with you entirely, of course it is. But the problem is, if we are going to take two parties, actually the two parties that actually culled the lowest votes, and make them the bosses, and cut out the one who actually got quite a lot of votes, and it's like a playground. You know, I want to be on your football team. Well, we'll have you and you, but we're not having you. Isn't it? Gordon Brown's going to be really upset and hurt.
Well, I think it depends on how the outcome of all this is, in that if they form a coalition as opposed to just a partnership to vote things through... If they do a genuine democratic coalition... then there's not a lot people can do to argue against that, is there?
That's my point, exactly.
Yeah? So
what we're doing is splitting it. We'll just split it anyway.
Right.
Why can't Gordon Brown now have a say? If Clegg and Cameron can, why can't Brown? I don't like Brown. I'm not vaulting Brown as somebody who should have a say. But as a matter of democracy, we should be having a say.
Yeah. But the trouble with that is, if it is that you want a strong, and let's face it, Greece is in trouble, financially.
It's on the slippery slide.
It's in terrible turmoil. If you then take Spain, Portugal and the UK, which are the next dodgy ones, if there's not a strong government that's prepared to stand up there and go, sorry lads, you can't have that one this year, we've got to wait until we've got the money in the bank to pay for it. What will happen is the standards of living that people have now will decrease by an amazing level, because the weakness of the pound will mean they can't do stuff anymore. And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the way it is now, isn't it? You know, if you think about it, at this moment, we're just
starting to get back on our feet. So, you know, there's a lot wrong with the, with this recovery. But what's actually happened now politically, and don't anybody misunderstand this. What's happened now, the reason we have a potential hung parliament, which we will have in a form,
yeah,
is because our politicians got it wrong. There is no other reason. You can't blame the voters, you can't blame the banks, you can't blame anybody else now. The politicians have brought this country to the knees, and they've managed to do it all together this time. It's been like a big party, isn't it? Well done, boys. Look, we've destroyed the UK.
What you mean, based on the fact that they did all these nasty things last year, like fiddle their expenses?
Well, no, apart from that, I'm talking about what they did last night.
Yeah.
They brought our democratic system to its knees, just as it happened in 1974, and think what happened in the 70s. We were a burgeoning nation. We were big, we were rich, we were comfortable, we were affluent. I'm not saying all those things are necessary to your life, but they make things a bit comfortable. It's like that old adage, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one thing money can't buy you, and that's poverty.
Yeah. But I'll throw another can of worms open here.
Go on, then.
If, now let's be honest and look at some of these guys.
Yeah.
If you look back over the past couple of decades and look at the charisma level of the Liberal Democrats, yeah, they've had the charisma level of a flat pancake.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. No charisma level at all. Along comes Mrs. Clegg, and yep, Nick Clegg has...
No, it's Corporal Clegg.
Oh, Corporal Clegg, sorry.
Mrs. Cameron.
Right, okay.
Corporal Clegg, right. Pink Floyd.
Right. Mr. Clegg has a load of charisma, which he develops and uses on the television. And
I've got to say, Eric, at this moment, as you said that, I tried to picture Corporal Clegg in my head, and I couldn't. That's how much of charisma I think he's got. I really can't even see him. I can't picture his face.
Yeah, but you see, you're old. And I'm not being funny or rude or horrible.
I can picture Gordon Brown's big, slobbery, wobbly, one-eyed face.
Exactly my point.
I can picture Cameron's.
Right.
I can't picture his.
That's exactly my point.
He's got no charisma.
A, the young people have a completely different view to older people. Yeah. And B, his charisma appeals to a younger populace than older people. And that's what I think has made the difference.
I'm not sure I could agree with that.
Well, I think it is. I think if you look at the way people responded to the TV debates in the UK, the younger people were saying, oh, yes, we like Nick Clegg. He came through well, blah, 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 blah. They were all younger voters that were, in most cases, often voting for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll concede a little bit.
But that you're old.
No!
And the fact is that I think his charisma and media ability on the television has created the hung parliament. Because the lacklustre predecessors of Mr. Clegg just didn't come through. I mean, Paddy Ashdown's a lovely man. He's a lovely...
I thought he was quite charismatic.
He was about as charismatic as...
coming in again. He's going upstairs to face the ghosts.
He was about as charismatic as a Pacific sole.
As a syphilitic what?
As a Pacific sole, a fish, flat.
Sorry, can we bleep that bit?
No.
No, I understand. No, but I did think he was quite... Anyways, that's in the past, isn't it? But the point you're making now, yeah, I can see your point that Corporal Clegg attracted people because of his youthful... But I think also his non-workable policies have fantasy enough in them to fascinate the young imaginations of our burgeoning population.
So, okay, then is this not the first time since the 1960s where the youth have actually jumped up and said, oi, stop it, we've had enough?
That's some sort of quiet revolution.
Yes.
Feasibly, yeah. That's something that we'll have to see in the future, but at the moment I can see what you're saying, that there could be some sort of revolution in the air but not as was in the 60s, where it was flamboyant and dramatic. This actually could be a move of sense and sensibility.
Well, the interesting thing is, there was a guy who, if you don't know him, boys and girls, most journalists used to take the mickey out of him rotten. He was the man that actually created or was behind what became known as the spin doctor. That was a gentleman called Alistair Campbell, who he used to be the spokesman for Tony Blair when he was Prime Minister.
What veracity that pair are.
Right. What he said about the election is that all three party leaders have conducted themselves very well. And that's absolutely true. That's the big problem.
I disagree. All three of them have done really well in presenting themselves, but they've not. Look, this is like going for a job interview. And if you went for a job interview and there were two other candidates and the firm turned to you and said, "Listen, lads, we've listened to you all. There isn't anybody who really stands out here. Mm-hmm. So what we've decided to do is give you all the job and you can job share." You'd be saying that, well, that's not a bit of a backhanded compliment, isn't it? I think I'm good enough at doing this job, but all of a sudden I'm not. I've got to share it. I need help. It's wrong, Eric. It's wrong, wrong, wrong.
So what's the right way?
To get... If charisma is important, which it is now in nowadays, you can't get away from it, you need a charismatic, honest, intelligent man who, or woman, politician, who can stand up and be counted, who can take the bankers, take the civil service, take the health service, take everything by the throat and shake it so hard that it shakes the living daylights out of it and we rebuild a proper democratic society. We have lost sight of democracy in this country.
Well, there's loads of tweets going on right now, boys and girls, which are really interesting. One is from the editor of The Spectator. Now, The Spectator, if you don't know, is, well, it's right-wing, isn't it?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
To say the least. And the editor of The Spectator is a guy called Fraser Nelson. And he's been tweeting about all this coalition stuff. On his Twitter feed, it says, "In entering coalition talks, Cameron tests his authority within the party. Inquiry into election reform? The Spectator cannot support this."
Really? Why?
Well, because if you think about it, the reason why Cameron hasn't won this time compared to others is the way that the slight difference in the votes. If you talk 10% difference in the populist vote, the Tories would have won it easily. No problems at all. By getting 10% more of the vote, not getting over 50%, but by getting 10% more of the vote, they would have won. The way the system works now is...
Can I ask you a question on this?
Go on then.
This is a very inflammatory thing to say.
Uh-oh.
But it is my view. It's not my view. It's just a thought that passed through my head. I'm not saying it's my view either. It's just a thought. With the sort of thing that we've seen going on in the political world of Britain over the last 10 years or so, where there's a lot of chicanery. Nobody can deny there's been a lot of chicanery going on. You know, it became public with Tony Blair, really.
Right.
Now, is it feasible, or is this a stupid conspiracy theory that somehow some pressure was brought, or I think it's quite feasible, on the people, the counters, on the polling booths, to say, right, come what may, 10 o'clock, we're finished. So then we are cutting down the votes, and we are cutting down the chances of losing this vote. And also, students, who were the main people who were being stopped from voting, residents with a house, middle-class families, were being allowed to go in first. The students who, like you say, were more likely to vote for Clegg than Brown, were stopped, were held back. This almost smells of an incredible scandal. And if I was in newspapers now, I think I would at least be having somebody investigating that. Let's see what happens over the weekend, see if anybody does.
There was a great debate on the television this morning, where the boss of the electoral system, which is kind of like not a political party, boys and girls, it's the governing body to make sure that elections are held fairly, and they actually are used all over the world. They borrow people from it to check other elections around the world. And
That's
this woman was getting absolutely hammered on the TV this morning. And she quite rightly said, look, we're open from 7 until 10. If you haven't got your voting card and it doesn't have the correct address on it, it comes through soon enough for you to make a change. If it is that you need to do another way of voting, be it postal or whatever, you can do it. But you can't do it 24 hours before an election. You've got to do it in the weeks that are run-ups. She also,
that kind of thing's understandable. Yeah, right? I accept that.
She also said, which I find quite nice, my God, that girl on the BBC News has got long legs.
No, I was just watching that. But I didn't say anything.
The fact is that there's more people voting percentage-wise.
I promise you, I'm not going to do a Chris Evans on the air.
Thank you. The fact is that there's more people voting this time in the UK general election than voted last time by a long way. So they've got so much of it right. I think a lot of the furore that's going on now is because it's so close, because they can't quite get past the finishing post, it's just highlighting areas that under normal circumstances would mean nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course I do. Yeah.
So I don't see how we can complain about lots of stuff, because let's be honest, if your voting card has got the wrong address on it, it comes through weeks before the election, yeah? You have plenty of time to go, oh, sorry, mate, you got the wrong address. No, hang on. No excuses. You've got time to say, I've got it wrong.
I agree with you. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. But put this into the mix, as you're saying it. Not that many of the polling cards would have come out with the wrong names on. So it would only be a very small percentage that wouldn't actually make what actually affected this election, and it has been said, you know, quite openly, was the fact that everybody didn't get the chance to vote. Now, the mechanics of that don't matter, Eric. Mm-hmm. The mechanics of why it happened don't really matter. It's the fact it did happen. These people in this country didn't get their democratic right to vote.
But would you agree with me, if the paperwork was right, let's just assume everything...
Yeah, it makes it easier.
No, let's just break it down. Let's assume you've got the right paperwork, right everything, everything's fine. The polling booth opens at 7 in the morning and finishes at 10 at night. If you can't get in there by that time, sorry, you don't really care about voting.
I won't pursue this because we're going on about it a bit, but except to say that you are right in a way, because that's exactly the attitude the government took.
No, it's not an attitude. Where I'm saying you have to separate it into two areas. If you want to sit there and watch a soap opera in the evening, muck about and suddenly go, oh my God, it's 5 minutes before the polls shut, I need to run down there and there's a big long queue because everybody's done the same thing. Tough. You don't watch the stupid soap. Go and vote
but people make mistakes. The cars could break down.
That's
ash cloud could float over there.
That's going to be a minority percentage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These were people who were standing outside the booth. Mm-hmm. They were there before 10 o'clock. They were there ready to vote.
Yeah.
They stood at one place. There were 150 people queuing outside a polling booth.
Yeah.
Now, 150 people had got there at, say, 9 o'clock, 9:15, thinking they'd got time to vote. The people in the polling booth operated the law to the letter of the law.
Correct.
And said, it's 10 o'clock, you can all get lost.
Yeah.
That was 150 people who turned up and done their democratic duty by turning up on time and had the door shut in their face.
And if you don't turn up on time to get on an aeroplane at an airport, and there's a big long queue, and
they did turn up on time, Eric. They did turn up on time. That's why they were there. They were queuing.
I don't think they all did. I think what happened was, this is just my opinion, I think a lot of people panicked at the last minute, having watched the telly, with everybody going, oh my God, things are going to be bad. They panicked and went out. Where I have a lot of sympathy is very true to say a whole bunch of people didn't get to vote because the system was screwed up via stupid little things, they weren't able to vote. Now, those people, I think they should be added in somehow or other. However, having said that, I think the nearest votes that I've seen that would change anything is about 1,000 votes in each political area. Therefore, you'd have to have at least 1,000 votes in every constituency that would make a difference to the end result. And I'm yet to be convinced that there's 1,000 in every constituency that didn't get the right vote, didn't get the whole thing up to date, and therefore it would make a difference. This is the problem. And what I wouldn't want to see is millions of pounds being wasted in the UK on trying to identify where these issues were when it makes no difference.
Well, I think it would make a difference. If we have electoral reform, if we have that, then it's a reform. It'll make a difference.
Yes.
Hopefully, it will be reformed in such a way that people won't end up in the position that they did. This was dictatorship at the polling booths, Eric. Just think of it this way. I know we've mentioned this before, but just think this through with me. You have students who have gone to universities or colleges in particular towns, right?
Briefly,
they have
very
every right
very
to vote.
Briefly.
They have every right to vote, yet they were being stopped at the polling booths in preference to residents, local residents.
Mm, I know what you mean.
That's right.
Okay, this was a very special postcard from Pop Brad with Lee and Eric looking at the...
And you were very special too.
Thank you, darling. Looking at the general election 2010 in Great Britain, and I hope we didn't bore you too much with it, but it's a hung parliament. That's the way it goes. And I'm coughing. I'd like to say to you, if you want to find out more about our Hannah, who's in part one of the programme, we will bring you up to date on what happens to Hannah after her operation. We will do that small thing for you. We'd love to hear from anybody who, like so many others, are having campus parties for Postcard from Pop Brad. So that's the PFPP people.
Why aren't they inviting us?
I don't know. Well, perhaps because
I want to go up to your party, yeah, campus. I can campus it up with everybody.
I knew that was coming. You are so predictable. Next week, we'll be back to normal, boys and girls, with a bit of luck. And we'll look at some more of the other sideways news, as we do every week here on Postcard from Pop Brad. We'll leave the politics alone for a little while and let them get on with it. Because to be quite honest... It ain't going to make a lot of difference, is it, Lee?
Well, not really. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Thanks for your company, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Pop Brad with me, Eric Wiltshire, and...
Me, Lee Banks, Lee G Banks.
Oh, I don't know, he's got such a fixation about the G all of a sudden. Perhaps he needs...
Because it makes me different.
I was going to say, perhaps it G's you up a bit. See you next week, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world... RTI.